was wondering, why is my guitar not working? I want to scream it out from every mountain top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. Yes, I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. Might have pushed it a little bit, but we're okay. Nothing, no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans deep only reflect this truth. And in my darkest night, your shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. Yes, I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. Sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. With crying, you always miss this. Good, you are good. Here we go, one more time. And with a cry of praise, my heart will proclaim, you are good, you are good. In this sun or rain, my life celebrates. You are good. You are good. Yes, I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. Sing because you are good, and I'll dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. Next time we do this song, I'll get it better, I'll get it down. But I'm a work in progress, so I don't know what it is. That transition to the bridge, it just can't figure it out. It just doesn't want to stay there. But I'm going to praise the Lord through it all. Amen? All right, let's give glory to God. You know, we've been celebrating the 4th of July, Independence Day. We've had a lot of fireworks going off, a lot of booms, a lot of bangs, a lot of sparkles and wonderful colors. And we've been remembering the glory and the honor of our country, but let us never forget to glorify and honor our God. Amen? He is the one that deserves all glory, all honor. And so this song, Glory to God Forever, is very relevant today. Amen.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yes, you were, yes, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name. All my days, so let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. To God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
One more time.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we're just so glad that we can glorify your name today. Thank you for your blessings.
Yes,
thank you for salvation. Thank you for love, peace, joy, all the things that are here for us today. We have a future, a blessed hope to be with you for all of eternity. But Lord, we're thankful that you are here with us now. We don't have to wait to know your presence, to know your love. And we glorify you for that. We're thankful and we bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. During this next song, if you are able and prepared to give in our offering this morning, we encourage you, you can do it during the song. Some of you may have already put your offering in when you came in, and that's fine. Some of you who are online, you're not able to do it here, so you can do it there with that giving tab there right on the website. But I'm going to just pray a blessing over the offering, and as we sing, feel free to come forward and put that offering in the plate. We're still not passing the plates to each pew. This is a missions-focused day. BGMC, we have the BGMC barrel up here, so if you are able to give in that, that's great. We will dismiss kids later on for the BGMC service downstairs. But we're going to just have that reminder of not only supporting the regular tithes and the offerings, which we need just to pay bills and do stuff, but to go above and beyond and support our missions. We have a lot of missionaries that we do our best to provide for, and we want to encourage you to continue to be faithful in your missions giving as well. Lord God, thank you for the blessing it is to give, that we can honor you with our finances, to be sure that we're doing our part to share in that blessing for others through the ministries of the church, through the mission field, through BGMC. We're thankful, Lord, that we have the privilege to give. We ask that you will be glorified in the midst of it all. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We live in a free country.
Amen.
Amen. God has helped us with that, hasn't he?
Yes.
But we have a special freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. And we are able to be led of his Spirit, not be bound by the chains of our sin, but be able to be free in him. And that's what this next sing is, this next song is all about. The blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise,
Through you all hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free. I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free. You set my heart on fire, 'cause you're my one desire. You freed me from my sins, your spirit lives within. You made a way for me, I want to shout that I am free.
I am free.
I am free. To run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free to run. I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free. I am free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you might be looking at this song and thinking, you know, we're Pentecostal people and all, and we're born again and spirit filled, but dancing, really dancing?
Yes.
Are we going to dance? Well, honestly, I don't know if I should try dancing. I mean, I've done that a couple times. Yeah. It's kind of ugly. I'm not so good. What's this really all about? This freedom to run, to dance. Well, let me give you a mental picture. Have you ever seen a little kid just wound up with joy? How about a little kid just wound up with joy in the Lord, and they just can't do anything else but bust out with a run and a dance and just praising God?
Right.
I've seen that with my grandkids. I saw that with my children when they were kids. And I think we can learn from that, to be free to express ourselves and our love of God. And I look at little Ez over here, and he's like the drummer boy coming up, and he's always got music going in his head. It's good to have our family with us, and he's this kid that just has this enthusiasm for music and joy, and I want to be more like Ezreal. I want to be a little bit less bound up by my own insecurities and limitations. Amen.
Yes.
I want to be like a child that's freely expressing, "Ah, God, I love you so much. And I want to just dance for you and clap my hands, raise them up." Don't hold back. Amen? I know we're upper Midwest people. We're reserved, right? Here's my enthusiasm. Yeah. And honestly, I've been criticized. Hey, what do you like at a football game? I mean, you get all... No, I'm more like, yeah! Good one. Maybe a little bit more than that. Some of us are just too reserved, right? Don't hold back. Freely express awesome love for God. Hallelujah. Mm. Amen. Well, we're going to move on. I don't even know why I had to share that, but there you go. God is good.
All the time.
I know it's hard sometimes when you go through challenges. I think of my friend, my family. You know, it's good to have Rodney's family here with us, Gail and John. Rodney's with Jesus today. I'm a little jealous, honestly. But we're not with him. We're here. And so
sometimes it's hard to see God's goodness when we miss a loved one, but he is still there. Amen? His goodness is still with us, even when we have a loss. And that's what this song is, the King of my heart. May that always be true and real in my life.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good. Good, oh, 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 let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good. Good. Good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good. Oh, 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 you're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on. When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame. When he came for me, I couldn't run, couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run, couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul. I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light. When he called my name, I couldn't run, couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run, couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart with healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. He holds the stars and he holds my heart with healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. Oh, Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In just a little bit, we're going to dive into the Word and hear a love song about the love of God for his vineyard. And this song reflects the amazing love of God. Like, wow, he loves me. I don't deserve that. And yet, in the midst of that love, what do we do with that love? How do we respond to that? How do we grow and how do we share and how do we develop the character of Christ within us? That love is powerful, it's wonderful, but there's an expectation that comes with it. Lord God, may I be faithful to the love you've given. Yes, it's a powerful and wonderful thing to be saved, to be loved by you. But Lord, may I
May I return that love back with just as much authority and joy as you've given me. I pray, God, for your anointing to be upon each and every one. Thank you, Jesus. Earlier in the first service, there was a word that was given. And I really felt strongly that someone had something, and it was simple. And I believe it's something we need to share now.
Yes.
I am your covering. That's it. I am your covering. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Receive that word today. Someone needs to hear that, because that covering represents so much. The loving embrace of God, the protection of His Spirit, the anointing of the Holy One.
Preach, Jesus.
I am your covering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that word. You're going to find the relevance of that word even more so as we get into the Word of God today. He is our covering. Never forget that. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for being with us today, hearing our prayers, receiving our praise. I pray for your continued anointing to be upon us as we go into your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you as you're seated. God is good. It is a blessing to be with you today. It's been a few weeks. It's my blessing, my honor to introduce Levi and Jennifer. We call her Jen. And Keegan, the oldest of the grandkids. And Ez, we call him Ez, his name is Ezreal. He must be sitting around somewhere in the nursery, so you'll see him around. Two of the grandkids aren't with us this morning, but we'll introduce them later when they are here. So we're thankful to have our family with us. It creates a house full, and it's a blessing. And glad to see all you folks with us today as well. I want to just share just a few thoughts before I jump into the Word and before we dismiss the kids for BGMC. I'm thankful for Beth being here. Doug got called into work, so Pastor Jason is pinch hitting for him. But in just a moment, we'll release him to go. It is BGMC day, and we're thankful that we can support the Boys and Girls Missionary Club and Crusade and be able to support that mission. Friday Fellowship is this coming Friday on the 10th, and so that'll be at the Gentry's, and we're looking forward to having that time of gathering. I hope that you can make it for some fun and fellowship and a little bit of food. Summer camps are going to be starting up, and for us, that means next Sunday while we're having church, Pastor Jason and Pastor Lindgren from Center is going to... what did I say, Center? Where's Center come from? Circle. From Circle is going to be driving our vans full of young people to the senior high camp. And so we're excited about a full group of students that are attending that. And so we'll be praying for their protection and for an awesome time with the Lord, and then they'll get back late Saturday. We are going to be doing a few other things, but just you have your bulletin there. And I want to draw special attention to the baptismal mural. As you look at this, I'll have to lower the stand again. It's hard to see. The drums are in the way, I suppose. But I want you to see the amazing creation that Joel Niles did for us.
and for God's blessing. As you look at this picture, I want to explain a little bit about what happened here. Before missionary Joel came to our church last spring, I asked him if he would consider painting over the faded mural that we had. And he looked at it and said, well, yeah, I think I can probably do that. Well, then he came and had his service. He was busy. He continued on. And months went by, and I figured, well, it was a big ask. You know, it was a lot for me to put him on that. But, you know, it's okay. Well, he just showed up Monday. I didn't know he was planning to come through. And him and his wife, Margarita, they came through. And he got on task with this mural late Monday night and was finished Tuesday early afternoon. What is this picture? Imagine that you have gone into Mikoshika and you're making the curve to head towards the pavilion, the Kiwanis Pavilion, and you're just on the road looking back through the main entrance area. You'll see that signature peak on the left. That's the peak you can see out the windows over here to your right. And as you're looking back, you see the trees in the background. That's where our church is. And so I think it's really cool how you're looking back at our own worship center in the picture as well. And this is a beautiful painting that he did. And I asked him, and he kind of came out, he probably didn't mean to tell me this, but he said if he were to sell this painting in Whitefish or Kalispell, that area, he would get between $10,000 and $20,000 for this painting. Because this is the hot style that's out there right now. And I'm just like blown away by that thought. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm just this farm kid from nowhere, North Dakota, that doesn't know art from anything else other than, wow, that's really awesome. It's like a 3D picture, right? But that's the value of these things, and I'm like blown away. And he just did that for us. We don't even support them monthly yet, as far as I know. And so I'm gonna be hoping and praying that we will take them on as a monthly support at least. But next Sunday, would you join with me in just taking up a love offering to help support their mission? I think it's the least we can do to bless our missionaries, especially when they do such a wonderful blessing to us. So that will be next Sunday. If you come prepared to do that, you can just mark a check, mural, or missionaries, Niles or Joel Niles, however you want to do that. But anyway, I wanted to draw your attention to that. We're also going to do next Sunday afternoon, we're going to do a baptismal service out at Holoker Lake because John and Crystal need to be baptized along with Adrian and Avery. And so if you have an interest in that and you haven't been water baptized yet, you can join with us for that as well. But please come and support them through that time. And there's other things I suppose I could share, but we need to get on with the service. So, cool. Everybody good? Everybody online is okay? You haven't fallen asleep? Wake up. Put that lazy boy back in position. Stay awake. I don't know. Maybe that was a word from God. I don't know. I doubt it. But hey, we can have fun. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. I spoke of the love song, the love of God, and how this is going to come to play. And I didn't even realize it until after we started doing the worship set, how much this connects with the word that God gave me this week. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 7. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Beth. BGMC kids, you may be dismissed. So, Keegan, and I'm not sure who else. Oh, there's a couple others upstairs. Great. Sorry about missing that. Have a great lesson about missions downstairs. Isaiah 5, verse 1 through verse 7, it says, let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. Now you might wonder, what's that, wild grapes? Well, let's just say, for the sake of simpleness, grapes that can't be used for wine. Sour grapes, poor grapes, they're not good. Verse 3. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful that we can look to your word and that we can be inspired and encouraged in our faith, but also challenged. And I ask, Lord God, that as we look into this passage of Scripture, we can see that it is focused on Israel and the men of Judah and your people back in the Old Testament. May we find a relevance for today. I pray, Lord God, that you will inspire all of us by your Holy Spirit to hear your words and to understand the application of what you want for us. Help me, Lord, to speak your words. And may we all hear them and apply them in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture was very relevant when it was written for the people that lived in that time. You have the house of Israel, the children of God, the ones that have been chosen by God to be the family lineage that ultimately the seed of Abraham would come. So that through that promise that was given, all peoples, nations, and languages would find blessing. Not just a short-term blessing, but eternal. But for the people of that time, we see it all too often when you read the stories of how they were blessed by God, protected by God, escaped from evil hands because of God's grace, only to go back to the old ways, back to their sin. And we have this concept of that time with the people of Israel and the men of Judah, which, by the way, is meant to include all people, not just the men specifically, men and women. Amen? And how they, while they were blessed and protected and pruned and all the things that were required to get the grapes to come, they did not bring forth what God had meant for them to bring. It was fulfilled in that time. But I believe that the song of the vineyard has relevance for today. I believe that we can look to this story, this love song, and make some connections to how it relates to me as an individual, but also our country and where we stand in the midst of God's blessing and judgment. The challenge in the midst of this word and this song and this story is that we need to stay true to the Lord. Stay true and produce the good fruit that He has called you to produce. And I believe that is relevant even now. Let's talk about the vineyard. It says in our text, in our reading, that God planted this vine on a fertile hill. It was good soil. Soil that should produce. In our backyard, we have some good soil, and then we have some not so good soil. The good soil was probably brought in by truckloads, right, Taco? He was over there, and he tilled it up for us. And that was black dirt with a little manure mixed in. That's good stuff. That's going to produce, that's going to grow something, right? But the soil on the other end of our yard is just sand. The water comes in bucket loads, and it goes through the sand, and it's gone. It's not really the kind of soil that's going to produce. God chose the good soil here. The owner of the vineyard chose good soil and planted a vine that should have produced well. He prepared it to produce the fruit, the grapes that all vines should. It says that the soil was not just good, but it was prepared and the rocks were removed. It even shows that there were more than likely weeds that were pulled to make sure that they didn't suck some of the nutrients from the ground that the vine needed. And the understanding is that nothing should hinder the vine from producing. The people of that time had everything put right where it needed to be, and they were called upon by God's blessing and His protection to produce. And what did they bring? Wild grapes. There was protection from the animals, from the bunny rabbits and the deer. Around this area, that's what we need to protect our gardens from, right? If you don't put some kind of protection around that garden, the bunnies are going to get it, and if they don't, the deer will. And there's probably other things that could cause problems, but for us, that's very relevant. Imagine if all of the fences around your garden were removed. What kind of disaster that would be, right? So God protects you. He protects me. He protects Israel. He protected Judah, the men and women of Judah. And I believe that he also protected our country. Our country was planted on good soil. And God did all that he could within his ability as God to make sure we had a good start, and we did. I believe our heritage is wonderful and beautiful. It's okay to be patriotic. It's okay to say something honoring to the flag, to the nation of which we live. Always remember that God is above it all. Amen? But it's okay to say, thank you, Lord, for this great country that we live. But have you looked at our country lately? It's chaos. It's disturbing. It's under attack. Why? What happened that we should be in such a crisis today? I believe we will see how that matches up with this story, the Song of the Vineyard, which is a love song. When we established this great country of ours, it was established under God. In God we trust, all of our coinage says. Our currency says. Of course, you know, as well as I do, there's an attack to take that out. You know, that's offensive to people. In God we trust. Well, which God? It's not fair. It's not equal. Well, I get it. I understand the argument. But this is our heritage. This is where we started. And we had good soil for this country to grow and to become the nation that it is. There has been a hedge of protection around this country, and there's been blessing upon blessing poured out. I see these words often, God bless America. And it actually stirs something in me that's not good. And I'll explain why. Yes, God bless America, but how about we recognize God has blessed America? We say it as if we need it again or more, but the reality, He has blessed us abundantly. I would rather see it say, God has blessed America. Hallelujah, amen. Rather than God bless America as if we haven't already received the blessing when we really have. And I see that in this story, in this song of the vineyard. And I believe we can look not only at our country, but we can personalize it in my own life. God chose me. He chose you. He planted you. He planted me on good soil. We are here today serving and honoring and blessing the Lord. But what are we producing? What am I producing for the kingdom of God? With the blessings and the protections He's given me. I need to personalize this. I can't just look at the country and start saying, well, this group of people is honoring God. This group isn't honoring God. And that's why we have chaos today. Let's make it personal. Amen? What am I doing for God? What am I doing with His protections? What am I doing with His love? The pruning and the pulling of the weeds to make sure I can grow. Not only that, but God says in this song of the vineyard that He put a watchtower in the midst of it. A watchtower that can point out when disaster is about to strike, that can look out over the walls and the hedge and see the enemy approaching. And I believe we as a church have been given the responsibility to be a watchtower in our own country, to sound the alarm. How are we doing on that? In my own life, I have someone called the Holy Spirit who says, stop! Don't go down that path. Don't go that direction. Here's where you need to be traveling. Here's where you need to go. Are we listening to our watchtower, the Holy Spirit, that's going to tell us what we need to hear so that we can maintain that hedge of protection and produce the grapes for the vineyard? God's vineyard, I believe it represents, number one, Israel, Judah, all of God's people. Yes, it's true. But we also see, I believe, as you look at that understanding of the foundations of this place of which was given to the people, we can also see America as a mirror image of the story. A country that was planted on good soil, that was established by His Word. And people, whether you want to say they're born-again believers or just traditionalists, I don't know, but they had honor of God's Word and honor of God Himself. Whether or not they were true believers is up for God to decide and for them during that lifetime of which they've lived. But I do know this, we had a good establishment for our country and we've been blessed abundantly. Time and time again. But rather than produce the grapes of which should have been produced, this particular song says it produced poor grapes. Wild grapes. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. The men of Judah are His pleasant planting. And He looked for justice. He looked for justice. But behold, bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. An outcry. Rather than a rejoicing of God's blessing, there's an outcry of injustice. Bloodshed. Not righteousness, but unrighteousness. And I believe as we look at where we are today in our own country, we can see the relevance of this story, of this song. For many years, there was a product of righteousness in this country of ours. And there still is for people that follow God. But as a whole, where is our country going today? Well, you can see as well as I can, there's been a great outcry. And we can talk about that outcry of the injustices of our own nation. We have people that are saying that they have been treated unfairly, that they have been treated unjustly, that there are prejudices against them. And we know that there's a community of people that are right in saying so. That because of the color of my skin, I'm not able to live with the same values and the privileges that you have because of the color of your skin. And some of us become cynical of that. We're like, you know, and I relate to this. I'm a North Dakota kid, grew up in a region where there wasn't a lot of different cultures going on. And yet the reality is there are some people that didn't live in my culture. They lived in a different area, and they were mistreated. Why? Because of their heritage, because of the color of their skin, because of the language they spoke. And there's an outcry. Why? Because we should all be treated fairly and equally, amen? So what are we going to do about it? Well, there's a couple ways we can handle that. One is to say, you know what? This outcry that's happening, these protests and these things are producing violence. They're producing things that are hurtful and harmful and violent and destructive. And they're destroying properties. Well, I don't honor that. I'm not going to honor this outcry that becomes violent, but let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. That old saying, it's a good saying. Do you know where that comes from, by the way? Back in the day, turn of the century, baths were kind of a rare thing. And so when there was a bath, the whole family had a bath. And guess who got to take the bath first? Me. I'm the dad. I come in from work in the fields and I'm filthy, dirty, head to toe with all the grime from weeks of labor out in the fields and the blowing dust and the grime of it all and the stuff from the coal and whatever else you use for heat sources. And I get to take my bath and all of a sudden that nice clean water is just filthy. And after I get my bath, I'm done. Now my wife can take her bath. Mom gets to take her bath now, right? So the mother of the children, the wife, she gets to take her bath. And now the children next. And who's the last one to take a bath? The baby. No. Hey, now, don't point to him. It's the baby that gets the bath last. And here's the funny thing. It's so dirty when you dunk the child in the water, you can't see it. That's how dirty the water is. So the saying comes, don't throw the baby out with the bath water. He's still in there. Take him out first, right? It's a good saying. I like it. It's funny. Even though it's kind of twisted. In our day and age, who gets the bath first? The baby does. We don't want the baby to get sick. Who's the last one to get the shower and the bath? Probably dad. He's the last on the list. We kind of got it reversed nowadays. Not really. Well, what's the point? The point is there is such a thing as recognizing racial injustice in our country. And we as God's people need to rise up and say, this is wrong. Here's how you love people as people. Regardless of all that's going on in our country, let's rise up and be better than that. We're not going to condone violence and destruction. But neither are we going to ignore that people have been treated poorly. Now, in my lifetime, in my experiences, I've seen that happen more with the Native Americans than the black community. And that's wrong. Now, this just didn't start yesterday. And this is only one little tiny thing that I want to bear out in the message today. That rather than the grapes that should produce the wonderful blessings of God, this country has oftentimes produced wild grapes that need to be thrown out and are no longer good for any use. We looked for justice and saw bloodshed. He looked for righteousness and heard the outcry of injustice, unrighteousness. What's the result? Well, the result isn't good. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 6. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Now, we need to look at this not just as a country, because I spent a lot of time on that. I want you to remember to spend time looking at this personally. Because I believe you are a vine that should produce fruit. Amen? I am a vine that should produce grapes. What will I do to my vineyard that's only producing wild grapes? It says, I will remove its hedge and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command clouds of the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. I believe we've seen this happen in our own country. I believe the beginning of the hedge of protection being removed and the blessings of God being stifled started September 11th, 2001. A word from God came to me, and it wasn't just me, it came to hundreds, if not thousands, of other people, that this was God's hedge of protection being removed. And now we are vulnerable. We are susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. And what have we had ever since? One attack after another after another. Some of it coming from the outside sources, some coming from within, and some of it coming from God Himself. Because all we're doing, well, I shouldn't say all, but but much of what we're doing is producing wild grapes. Injustices and unrighteousness. I don't believe that we're going to suddenly wake up tomorrow and God's going to turn the corner, put the hedge back, build that wall, put the thorns back in place, and scatter all the critters. I believe we've already seen the writing on the wall. Things are not going to get better. And I'm going to ask you, are you prepared? Are you prepared for the shaking and the uncomfortable life of which is to come? We're so used to the blessings of God, we haven't gotten used to His judgments. Because we're His children. I don't believe this is the great tribulation, but I believe that it is knocking on the door of what is to come. There's a video that's out there. I've watched it a couple different times and I've prayed over it. A pastor who has had visions in his dreams of what has been fulfilled through COVID-19 and the radical riots and protesting that have happened. He told his church about it. It's documented. It's all legit. And you're all like, whew, I'm glad that's over because that's behind us now. Well, kind of, sort of. But he had other visions, other dreams of something that will happen this fall. And I can't stand here and tell you emphatically without any shadow of doubt that this is the way it's going to be. But in my spirit, I believe this pastor was very legitimate, very sincere, and I believe that he is very much like me. And I think he heard from God. It's not going to get easier. If anything, it's going to get more difficult as time goes on. But your faith in God will bring you through. Amen? And you have a responsibility to still produce the fruit that God has called you to produce. On a personal level, the song of the vineyard can have a different outcome. I planted my vineyard on good soil. I hoed and I made sure the weeds weren't there and I pruned and did all that I could do and I brought the water and the resources and my vine has produced. And that's the call that you have on your life. Because if you don't produce the fruit that you're called to produce, what is God going to do to you? Now, you might be one that says, well, God would never hurt me. God would never come down upon me. And I'm going to tell you this. He loves His vine, His precious vine, but His hedge of protection was removed. And the outcome wasn't good. Where do you stand today as a vine planted by God? I know where our country is, and I love this country of which we live. There are many good people that love and honor God. As a matter of fact, I don't believe the tribulation as we know it will come until you and I are out of here and we're gone. But while we're preparing for what is to come, there's going to be very uncomfortable, difficult days. Where's your faith? Where are you? As a vine planted by God. The vine will be devoured and trampled. No longer will it be pruned or weeded out with all the weeds. It will be choked out by the thorns and the thistles. The blessings and the provisions will cease. How's your retirement plan doing? 2008. A lot of people saw things just kind of go bye-bye. Right? But it's kind of been reestablished now. If you didn't mess around with it, maybe you're sitting pretty good again, right? Is that where your blessed inheritance really should be? Maybe we should be looking at the eternal rewards as the highest priority of blessing and not worry so much about those material things because maybe they're not going to be there when we're ready to retire. Some of you are retired already. You're going, whoo, bless God, I got ahead of that one. Who is the vineyard? The vineyard is the house of Israel, and it's the men of Judah. That is specifically the people that received the original message. They are God's people. God's children. And we can say that emphatically without any doubts. However, I do believe that we must find relevance for how it applies for us today. Turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 11. Verse 17 through verse 24. If some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Your salvation has its roots in the Old Testament, in the inheritance and the heritage of a promise that was given to Abraham. You are the blessing and the product of the seed of Abraham that now allows you to be grafted into that vine. That's why we sing that song as children, Father Abraham. I'm not going to demonstrate it this time around. Maybe next time. Verse 19, then you will say, branches are broken off so that I might be grafted in. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Right? All arrogant and haughty. No, verse 20 says, that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. Why should we fear? Verse 21 answers the question. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. You're like, hey, I'm grafted in. I'm born again. I'm part of the family of God. Great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But don't get all arrogant and haughty and talk about, well, yeah, the Jews, you know, they didn't believe and so they're cut off so I can be grafted in. No, you are part of the family now. If God didn't spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note, then the kindness and the severity of God, severity toward those who have fallen. You need to understand the importance of the grasping of this detail. Let's continue on. Verse 22, it says, note that then the kindness and severity of God's severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. What does that mean? Bear fruit. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. In other words, they're not lost for eternity. They can become part of the heritage once again if they simply submit and believe. We're all part of the same family. They will also be grafted in, it says, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? What is the point of this part of the message? The point is this. God has a love song for you. He has planted you on good soil. He has cared for you and pruned you and weeded out all the garbage so that you can produce the grapes that he's asked you to produce. And if you're producing nothing but wild grapes, watch out, because the hedge of protection is about to be removed. Well, how do I know? How do I know if I'm in danger of this hedge being removed? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you producing fruit? And you might ask, well, what is the fruit? I want to produce the fruit. Okay, here you go. Here's number one, the fruit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. Are you representing God's character? That's the number one way you can produce the fruit that God's called you to. The character of Christ in you. Here's another way I think you can measure where you're at. When you pray, how much time do you spend honoring and blessing God for his goodness? And simply being immersed in that awesome understanding that you are loved by him. And how much time do you spend asking for things? God, help me here. God, fix this. I believe too many times we need a heart change. Because we look to God for all of our needs, but we forget that we should be honoring Him in the midst of all that we live. Ask rather, God, what can I do for you? And if that's the priority of your prayer, I believe that you are a fruit-bearing vine that is no danger of the hedge being removed. But if all you have the tendency to do is ask, God, do this, God, do that, God, help me here, God, help me there, then I'm concerned for you, because it's a very good chance that you're not producing fruit. You're simply asking Him to take care of your needs, to keep hoeing, to keep trimming, to keep the good water flowing, because you just like all the blessing. But if the blessing doesn't produce fruit by you sharing back to Him, God, what can I do for you, then I believe you're in danger of the protection being removed. This is not the time to live complacently and simply come back and forth to church and call that Christianity. I made reference, I don't even know how it fit, but I did it, and now I bring it up again. I made reference to the Beverly Hillbillies. I've been watching that on my streaming. I like Jed Clampett. It's funny. I enjoy the Beverly Hillbillies. For some reason. And it helps me be a better electrician. And I'll give you a secret about that someday. It's a true story. But after watching an episode, if you watch to the end, they come back out of the mansion. And they're waving goodbye, see you back next week. And it's like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see this again. I remember as a kid, I couldn't wait to get off the school bus. And I hope the Beverly Hillbillies is on. I get to watch the Clampets. See you next week. Is that your Christianity? Bless God, hallelujah, sing a song, hear a message, go home, live your life, come back next week. See you next week. Y'all come back now, here. Is that Christianity? No. That's a vine not producing grapes. My Christianity has to be more than just coming to church. If my Christianity isn't relevant and active tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, then there's something wrong with my vine. Because my life isn't about me. It's all about bringing glory to God. Now, you might be saying, well, that's a great way of looking at it, but I don't know if I believe you. I mean, that's a pretty big jump to say that we're to take the vine, the song of the vineyard, to heart. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, and let's validate it one more time, one more way. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and verse 29. No one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. By the Spirit, not by the letter, that means the letter of the law, his praise is not from man, but from God. In other words, here's the bottom line. If you are born again, believing, spirit-filled person that's following after God, then you have been grafted into the original root and you are part of the heritage of the family of God, and the vineyard is you. Because you are more Jew than the person that's only one traditionally by the law. In other words, the heritage of lineage through families and ancestries. Yeah, that's cool, that's awesome, but you still need to be born again. If you have Jewish blood, that's cool. I do too, but I got to go all the way back to Noah. I got to go back to before Abraham. to connect that dot. Because I got a lot of other stuff, but I don't know anywhere in the last 150 years or 200 years that I can actually go to a Jewish ancestry. But here's the bottom line, it doesn't matter. Because a true Jew is one that has been circumcised of the heart. You and I are the vineyard that God has put into place to produce. And it's a love song. And just like so many love songs and love stories and romances, novels and movies, there's someone with a broken heart. And it's the heart of God that's been broken. I believe when he looks at our country and he sees what was established and what was doing so well in so many ways and has made this turn into a tendency towards evil and injustice and unrighteousness, I believe it grieves the heart of God as it grieves mine. But I do not want him to look at my life and have the same grief. I want him to see love. Joy. I want a father to look at his son and say, I'm proud of you, man. That's the way to get it done. That's the way to serve me openly and honestly without any hindrance, to produce the grapes for the wine vat that will bring blessing after blessing. Will you join with me to be the one that rises above it all and produces what God has called us to produce? Let's not look at our own needs as the highest priority. We have them, it's true, but let's look at God's needs as the highest serve, the highest service we could give. God, what can I do for you? And see the fruit come forth. And we'll close with this passage from 1 Peter chapter 2. The precious vineyard. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to this description of you. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow. Wow, you are the chosen vine. He didn't pick a vine that was frail. He didn't pick one that was going to be thrown out and tossed in the garbage. No, he paid the highest price for the best vine that there was. And that is who you are. You are chosen by God. And you've been planted in the good soil. You've been watered. You've been pruned. You've been hoed. You've been prepared for all that was needed to produce. And God is not the one to blame for your failure. What else could he have done? He's done it all. God is not the one to blame for the failure of our country. What more could he have done? He's done all. And more. And yet, who's to blame for the chaos in the world? Who's to blame for the injustices? Who's to blame for the sorrows of your life? Who's to blame? We point at God. God, shame on you. How dare you? It's just like the other night. We had a big rainstorm come in. Wow, what a rain. And as the rain's pouring down in sheets, and it's like, whoa, it's like really coming down. Next thing you know, we hear this. And I look over, and Tina looks over, and here's the wall pouring out a stream a good inch thick of water just gushing into our house. Yeah. And Tina's thinking, oh no, we broke a pipe. And I'm thinking, there's no pipe. What happened? Well, the water came down so fast, it gets to the gutter, the gutters. We're supposed to go through the downspout, and guess who didn't clean out the gutters after the last windstorm when all the dead branches came down? And it plugged up and backed up, and all that water that couldn't have anywhere else to go backed up under the shingles, and into the house she comes. Now here's what I could do. God, how dare you bring all that rain at one time? Shame on you. You have treated me unfairly. But the reality is, oh, rats, that's my fault, Lord. Sorry, I should have cleaned the gutter out when you told me. My bad. You're good. It's me. It's not you. What do? We tend to blame God. God, it's your fault. You're the one to blame for all the chaos. No, it's me. It's me. Would you stand with me? What else could I do? The vineyard owner says. I've done everything. I should expect good grapes. What else could he do for you? He's done it all. Will you answer the call to produce the grapes? Please do. I shudder to think what life would become when the hedge is removed, the wall is broken down, the weeding stops, the hoeing, the pruning, and you're left with all the critters and the attacks of the enemy to lay waste to your life. Don't let that be your story. Don't end the song with tragedy. Rather, end it with joy, with a moment of rejoicing to see the fruit that has bore out the character of Christ. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge to bring us a song to a happy ending. May we all listen and hear and know that the story doesn't have to end poorly. Not for us. The handwriting is on the wall for our country. I believe that. We're going to go through some hard times. There's going to be blessings along the way. But there's going to be some tough times. But I know you'll bring us through. But for me, Lord, for each of us individually, we're committed to bearing fruit. We see your hand. We accept the blessings. We soak in the rain. But we're not going to take advantage and simply sit back and say, oh, that's cool. We're going to get active. We're going to do things for you. We're going to step out and produce. Because we love you. We love you back. And I pray, Lord, each of us together can pray that prayer with sincerity. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.